Marlowe. Philip Marlowe. Occupation, private detective. You know, somebody says, follow that guy. So I follow him. Somebody says, find that female. So I find her. But some cases, like this one, kind of creep up on you on their hands and knees. And the first thing you know, you're in it up to your neck. Right now, you're reading in your newspapers and hearing over your radios about a murder. They call it the Case of the Lady in the Lake. It's a good title. It fits. What you've read and what you've heard is one thing. The real thing is something else. There's only one guy who knows that. I know it. This Lady in the Lake business started just 3 days before Christmas.
Who invited you?
I did.
Now, wait a minute, Mr. Marlowe.
Just when I was beginning to like you.
Well, you want the facts, don't you?
When it concerns a woman, does anybody ever really want the facts?
Vain female, aren't you?
Please don't be so difficult to get along with. I need help.
What's going on here?
He got cute.
Striking an officer, resisting arrest and murder, all on Christmas Eve. Let's wrap you up real pretty, shall we? And take you right down to headquarters. Give me your hands.
You'll see it just as I saw it. You'll meet the people, you'll find the clues, and maybe you'll solve it quick, and maybe you won't. You think you will, eh? Okay? You're smart. But let me give you a tip. You've got to watch them. You've got to watch them all the time. Because things happen when you least expect them.
No, don't! I love you, Rivera!
My name is Bob Sham.
My name is Angela. I am the lady in the pod.
Are you dead?
Oh, no.
The sounds of your maybe dogs. We're a movie YouTube podcast, and all month long we've been discussing noir movies. We've been calling this month the Left Hand Endeavor. And we're in our last week, and today is our last Philip Marlowe Monday selection.
Sad.
Raymond Chandler, he wrote Double Indemnity, and of course he wrote the novel adaptations, the novels of all that these Monday movies are based on. And this is our last one. We're saying goodbye to Raymond Chandler right here. And with a movie that's gimmicky, it's the most experimental film this month. And I think there are fun things about it, and there are also... It also kind of forces itself into a specific corner. Yes. It backs itself into a corner with this concept.
Yes.
But I do respect, especially for the time, like this idea, like, let's try this. They really were trying to do something different. And I do admire that spirit. We're talking about Lady in the Lake, directed by Robert Montgomery from 1947. It also stars Robert Montgomery, though you hear him more than you see him, but you do see him sometimes. This also stars Audrey Totter, Lloyd Nolan, Tom Tully, and Leon Ames. Audrey Totter, you probably remember as she's the wife in The Setup.
She was also the lady that went to Mexico in Postman Rings Twice.
Yeah, so she's popped up a few times this month.
Love her.
I mean, she's doing all the heavy lifting in this movie.
She's the saving grace of this film.
We haven't explained the gimmick.
No.
The gimmick is that, well, it's like we are Raymond Chandler. Although Robert Montgomery is Raymond Chandler, and he establishes that. And there are some scenes where he's establishing, like, he's he's explaining the scenes that we're going into, and yeah. he is playing Philip Marlowe. Sorry, I keep saying he's Raymond Chandler.
Yeah.
He's playing Philip Marlowe, but it's all in his first-person perspective. So it looks as though when people are – it looks like our video game RPG, like you're playing Fallout.
That's exactly what it feels like.
Fallout or Skyrim.
I think this female had a shady past and you knew something about it. Now I'm getting somewhere.
You stick your nose into my business and you'll wake up in an alley where the cat's looking at you.
What did she do, this female? Bump off somebody down here? Is that what you had on her?
Only thing you wanted were, like, options, like, conversation options to come up onto the screen.
What would happen if I kissed you?
Why don't you try and see?
You always close your eyes when you think somebody's going to kiss you?
What stopped you?
What's Chris Lavery like? Broad shoulders?
Why?
Did you close your eyes for him, too?
Get out.
You want to marry Kinks because Lavery jilted you, eh?
That's not true.
Yeah, because he'll come in every so often and explain what's happening, where he'll actually be talking to the camera, so it feels very much like those little story bits.
First she wants me to find Crystal Kingsby, and then she wants me to prove Crystal's a murderess. She's a sweetheart, Adrian Fromsett is. At the lake, I visit that little morgue they've got up there in the mountains, and I see Muriel Chess. 30 days in the water. There isn't much left of her.
You got to this point, so now let's tell you the next part of the story.
So what happens here is that, you know, there aren't really a lot of cuts. It's forcing actors to kind of embody the scene, and Audrey Totter is really the person who carries this whole movie because she's in it the most. She's the person mm-hmm. that initially hires Philip Marlowe, or you're kind of Philip Marlowe, because everyone's just staring straight at the camera with all of these interactions. And yeah, so the camera, there's not a lot of cutaways. The camera is just like Audrey Totter is forced to just kind of hold the whole scenes when she's explaining all these. And she's definitely in this. Like, she is the star of the movie.
Yes.
Like, no doubt about it. You could say it's like Robert Montgomery or...
No.
Or it's like an Audrey... It becomes like an Audrey Totter movie.
Mm-hmm.
And she goes in as they banter back and forth and... Philip Marlowe is kind of being, you know, rude. You hear his voice, of course. And he's very sketched out and very paranoid about what's going on. So he kind of insults her. So she's going, like, into these expressive ranges so quickly.
She has such a amazingly expressive face. She plays this role so well that you don't know whether she did something bad or not.
The goofier parts of her performance are more of her having to respond to the story and the dialogue because she's a woman who likes him and he like plays with her and she'll just go from like being completely insulted and then the following scene she'll show up like at his apartment and be like, hey, you know, and like be taken in with his fake flirtations, which as the movie progresses, become more and more real.
This is also a trope of the time, which I think is why he gets the kind of girls that he gets. I mean, this still happens, obviously, what I'm about to say, but the worse he treats her, the more she wants him.
But she is she wants to hire Marlowe to go find the wife of Kingsby, who we never see in this movie.
The wife we never see.
And of this guy named Darius Kingsby, who's a publisher. And it happens that Philip Marlowe, his character, is trying to stop being a detective and become a writer. And that's kind of why he's initially here, is he wants to sell his book idea. But she's willing to make a book deal with him. But she also knows he's a private eye and wants to hire him.
Yeah, so she says she'll buy his story, but... She also, and he reads through her so fast.
The dog has opened the window.
Yeah. Okay. It makes me look a little brighter than normal, but
yeah,
he just wants to be outside. She's hiring to find her boss's wife, and he is basically calls her out on her bullshit. Like, you just want to find this woman so that your boss can divorce her so that you can marry your boss because you're trying to be rich. So she starts giving him clues in the most roundabout way. He ends up going to her apartment and finds this telegram on the table that she, oh no, did I leave that there? Like, she's so very suspicious.
Yeah.
Because of the way she handles everything. It's this telegram that basically says it's from the wife, whose name is Crystal, that she's in Mexico, she's going to file for divorce down there, and they think she's run off with this man named Chris.
Yeah, yeah.
Who's like a southern gentleman.
Lavery.
Yeah, Chris Lavery. And Marlo goes to see him, and he has the most ridiculous southern accent.
Lavery, why don't you tell me where Mrs. Kingsby is? That way I won't be bothering you.
Mrs. Kingsby? Crystal? Well, I haven't seen her in a month of Sundays. And I've never been to El Paso in my life, if that's what you were going to ask me next.
Oh, you know about the telegram, eh?
Well, yes, sir. Miss Adrian told me.
Miss Adrian did she?
I'm afraid I must warn you, Mr. Marlowe. Miss Adrian likes to romanticize.
The worst Tennessee Williams character you ever
heard. Yes.
And he ends up punching. This is another example where Philip Marlowe is getting, he gets knocked out like three times in this movie, and it's from the first person perspective. So it's like you're getting knocked out.
Yes.
Eventually, he comes back to this guy's place.
One thing I really love about this is that because you're from that first person perspective, you get no scenes without Marlowe. He's always there.
Well, he's the camera.
I know, but that's...
You hear him. You don't see, well, except in reflections.
But they specifically choose not to go to certain places with him, which is confusing. So he, you know, he gets knocked out with Lavery and he ends up in this jail in this other richy part of town. And they basically are trying to tell him to get the fuck out of their town. So then he goes back to see her and explain what's happening. And she tells him to go up to this lake where they had a lake house to go find out what's happening. Well, he goes up to this lake multiple times, but we don't.
Well, Robert Montgomery himself, in the few scenes where it cuts to him explaining what's coming next in the story, where we actually see Philip Marlowe, he explains the point of the story that they found a body in the lake and they think it's some lady named Miriam or something, or...
Her name was Miriam.
It's a little confusing, as usual.
But she was really someone named Mildred. It's two M names, which is why it gets extra confusing.
And also, Kingsby's wife is missing, so we're not sure if they have something to do with it. Marlo's not sure if Audrey Totter's character, Miss Fromsett, has anything to do with it.
Because also, Chris was supposed to be who she ran off with, but he's here in town, so they didn't run off together, and... Audrey knows things she's not telling Marlo.
So we don't have a moment where Marlo like stumbles across the body.
Mm-mm.
It's another instance here in which the bodies of the dead people and the people you're looking for are actually, well, it's a little spoiler, we don't see any of them ever.
No.
And he goes back to Laverly's place and there's a lady there who's fast talking, and now this is where... This is why the concept of it kind of falls apart, because most characters are like, they're character actors, they're all pretty seasoned.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Audrey Totter has to hold the most weight, but everyone else just has bit scenes that they can come in and out of, and it's not too bad. But this person, what is her fucking name? She's played by Jane Meadows. She is playing, she says she's the landlord, because he walks into Laverly's place and this lady has a gun. She's like, I'm looking to get paid. I'm the landlord of this place.
And she has on a hat and coat.
And she's talking real fast. She's almost like, I know these are melodramas, but she's almost like a little too hammy, right?
Well,
so, you know, if it wasn't for the first person shooting that's forcing the hand, then you could do cuts, you could cut away, you could redo these things. But because it's so focused on this lady, she's got to go through the dialogue. It takes like 5-6 minutes of uncut lady. And, you know, and there are bit characters that come in and you're like, ooh, that wasn't very good acting, right? And this one is just kind of a little over the top. And I also rightfully suspected that she wasn't who she said she was.
Yeah, you figured it out. And as we get to know this character, I think she's manic, which then makes a little more sense of why this scene is so frantic. Because she's like freaking out. And then all of a sudden she's...
You silly man. No, you're sweet.
Thank you, Mrs. Fulbright.
Bye now.
Well, she takes off and he goes upstairs and finds the body.
Yeah, Lavery is dead.
In the shower. He's been shot in the shower.
And the cold water's running on him, which I think is a really interesting detail because... they suppose that that makes it harder to tell when he died.
Yeah, I guess
so. Because he's like extra cold. I don't know.
Sure.
It's weird. There is also before this a scene that I really love. Marlo makes a phone call. And when he's on the phone, we're obviously hearing what he's saying and what is being said to him. But like it would be in an actual person, he's just staring at the corner of a table for this entire phone call.
Yeah, yeah.
That was one of those moments where I thought to myself, this is boring, but interesting.
Most of the movie is visually boring.
Yeah.
Except, like, I mean, Audrey Totter is easy to look at. She's a pretty lady. So
I love her.
That's kind of, if you're satisfied with that, then maybe this movie's not so bad. But for the most part, visually, this movie is boring.
It is very boring.
The concept... is, you know, you can play with it and you go with it. You know, there was an action movie that came out like a few years ago.
Didn't see it, but I know what you're talking about. Well, it looked
shitty. That's why we didn't see it. I think it was called like Hardcore Harry.
Yeah.
Which is all first person. It actually did look like a video game where some guy's shooting and shit, but I don't know. But this movie did it first.
But that just speaks to this is not something that has been done very many times because it does not work. It's not great.
This works in a video game, not so much a movie.
Like you said, we do see him in
a whole movie.
Yeah, we do see him in Reflections a couple of times. And one of those times is actually lovely because it's he and Totter looking at each other in the mirror talking. That's actually pretty cool because they are just like staring at each other in the mirror. Which I liked, but they also, this happens in Chris's house twice. There's a clock on a mantle in front of a mirror. And Marlo pointedly looks at the clock and they make a big deal about the clock. And why the fuck didn't we see him in the mirror? I realize the angle, he probably wouldn't have been seen, but take that moment to show us his fucking face.
A continuity error. They just didn't.
I don't think it's continuity because they didn't like do it once and not the second time. They just didn't do it at all.
Yeah,
they just missed an opportunity.
Yeah, they just forgot to put that in or just skipped it.
Didn't think about it.
Or he's a vampire.
Didn't pay attention.
Or he got turned some point in the movie into a vampire.
There's also a bit where he has found a handkerchief in Chris's house that has the initials AF, which is our...
Adrian Fromsett is Audrey Totter's character.
Yes, and so it's kind of setting it up to make it look like she killed him. So he goes to see her and takes the gun to try to, like, get her to confess, I guess, or shake her up or get her to tell the truth. And she so plays this part. She says she's innocent, but the way she behaves, you really don't know. And I love that.
She acts like a guilty person.
Absolutely she does.
But she's also trying to call him off the case. And
Her boss tries to hire him.
Yeah, that the Christmas party. That was kind of funny where he crashes the Christmas party and then you see the whole room just all turn around and are just looking at the camera, right?
Yeah.
Because the camera is Philip Marlowe. And, yeah, so the boss kind of acts strong, but then hires him on the side.
And then, you know, there's so much going on in this movie. And all of these Raymond Chandler stories are confusing. And then they make weird choices, like he's having a moment alone with our lady. I don't know why I can't remember her. Adrian.
Fromsett.
Yeah, and this young kid walks in with some mistletoe and asks her for a kiss.
Yeah.
I've been looking for you, Miss Fromsett.
Yes, Buster.
Well, this is Christmas time, Miss Fromsett. Well, I've been working here for almost a year now, and... Well, would you think I was off if I asked you for a kiss?
Why, I...
Go on, kiss him. You're full of charity.
Thank you, Miss Fromsett. I've waited all year for that.
You've had your Christmas, son. Beat it.
He's just a kid, but he wasn't very good.
Well, he was not any good, but also story-wise, it doesn't make any sense at all. Like, no sense. Because also, this man has gotten there. Everyone's pissed at him for being there, and they've gone in this room to, like, hash out whatever they need to hash out. And then this kid decides this is the time to go ask her for a kiss.
Yeah, it's weird.
Yeah, it's really weird. And then her boss, who she, you know, was in love with, well, not really. She wanted to marry him for his money, then tells her, hey, listen, if I ever insinuated that I ever wanted to be with you, I was just lonely. Mm. I'm never going to be with you. I don't want to be with you. This is not a thing. I will never even speak to you again unless it's business. So then she's like, Marlo, you think I'm guilty. You also like took my $1 million man or whatever. Mm. And then, yeah, she's like, you're fired and never want to see you again. And then the boss says, I need you to find my wife, but also... make sure that it doesn't look like she killed anyone. Because at this moment, they think his wife might be the one killing people.
We don't know what's going on.
And yeah.
And the police in this area called Bay City, which is like the upper version, he's not in L.A. directly. Mm-mm. Though we get like certain references to areas around L.A. And
he has to kind of drive to get to Bay City.
And the cops there, they want him off the case, including this guy named Lieutenant DeGarmont. It's played by Lloyd Nolan, and he seems to especially want him off the case. And they even have a scuffle, he and them. And the chief of police is a little more understanding. Like, he kind of knows things aren't right, but this DeGarmont guy wants him off it, like, real bad.
Because once again, he's pulling pieces together that no one's supposed to figure out.
And there's the best scene in this movie is at one point where he starts to drive.
Mm.
And he's walking to the car and we see him driving and we see that he's being followed, right? Mm-hmm. This is actually quite cool.
Yes.
And he's being tailed and the car forces him off the road and he crashes. And then that's when we see DeGarmont, the bad cop, pouring whiskey on him. He's wrecked. He's going in and out of consciousness. So the camera's like fading in and out. And this drunk guy walks up to the car. Oh, this is also a Christmas movie.
Oh, yeah.
The book does not take place in Christmas, apparently, but for some reason the movie felt the need to. So all this is happening like within like 4 days.
It's like Christmas Eve.
Leading up to Christmas Day.
Yeah.
And we see DeGarmont pouring whiskey on him because he's going to call the police. They're going to pick him up and they're going to bring him in like he was drunk driving. After he does that and Marlo comes to... He sees like a poor drunk guy like staring at the car and Marlo knocks him out and puts his ID in the guy's pocket and he goes and he hides and you see the paddy wagon come and pick the drunk up while Marlo's hiding in the shrubs and so they're taking this guy and he's got Marlo's ID on him so they're going to check him in like he's Marlo. And they say something later about how they were mad when they found out, like, when they brought this guy out to meet someone and it wasn't Marlo. But Marlo had already been in that jail. The way it was told, it made it seem like the cops did not know it was Marlo until someone had to show up and tell him it wasn't, even though Marlo was put in that jail, like, earlier in the movie.
But that worked for me because the only reason that was okay with me is because at this point, the bad cop who did this to him... It is off doing something else. And this is Christmas Day. So and we've already established that the captain has a kid. Yeah. And so he's going to be at home. So these were just like, you know, beat cops who had to work on Christmas. They don't fucking care.
Now, in terms of peak visual excitement, you know, up until maybe we get the shootout reveal at the end, this is the most exciting part of the movie.
Definitely.
And it doesn't even come close. It actually is kind of, the concept does look cool in this particular car crash chase mm-hmm. scene. It does work quite well. But the rest is quite boring. And I kind of think we should just go to the end.
Fair.
And explain who did what and why. It's not Adrian Fromsett as played by Audrey Totter, which we kind of figure that out. And they do kind of end up falling. Though Marlo doesn't fully trust her, they do end up falling for each other, and he's in her apartment.
Once he knows she didn't do it, they do get together. That's the idea. Because her idea is just stop being a private eye. Let's go to New York. You can be a writer. I'll help you. I'll be your editor, you know. And that's the plan at the end of the movie.
Well, there's Kingsby, the husband, is also not in on it either. But he gets a call from his wife, and Marlo is tasked with bringing money to the wife. And he approaches this lady, and we don't see her face. We know it's the landlady from Laverly's place. And Marlo follows her up to the place, and he's leaving like rice trail so that people will know where he's going. And yeah, she turns around, and as it turns out that this lady who was playing is Jane Meadows, no less over the top melodramatic, no less corny, no less a little too much, reveals that you think she's Miss Kingsby. No, she's actually Muriel.
Or Meredith or whatever, the lady that has been missing. Before all this, this woman was with that cop guy. Because she killed someone, and then she convinced him that she didn't really mean to.
Yeah,
and
Lieutenant DeGarmont.
He let her get away because he was in love with her. But then she ran away from him, changed her name, married this guy out at the lake. She didn't like Crystal Kingsby for some reason. And she says that, you know, it was an accident when she killed that first guy, but she had to run. And then she married this guy, and she switched clothes with Crystal. And then Crystal just fell in the lake accidentally. She didn't push her. It wasn't her fault, but then she let them think it was her that was dead, so she ran away again, and then she came to town, and then she kills Chris because he knew who she was.
Yeah.
It's so fucked.
And so that's when Lieutenant DeGarmont shows up, and he shoots her to shut her up, and he's also burned because she kind of ghosted him, like he hadn't seen her in a bit or something.
Yeah, he's pissed because he, like, saved her. He made her she made him a bad cop.
Yeah. So he shoots her, and right before he shoots Marlo,
I never thought you'd get here, Kane.
There's nobody back of me, Marlo. You think I'm sap enough to turn my head and let you jump me?
Be careful, Kane. That gun of his is pointed right at me.
Cut it out, will you? I'd look at the birdie gag that went out.
You better get him with the first slug, Kane, or he'll get me.
Shut up!
That's when we get the chief of police and the other people coming through the window, and they shoot DeGarmont through the window. And we see, and it is kind of cool to see Muriel drop and then DeGarmont drop in front of her body from that first person perspective. Mm-hmm. We see the end where we see Robert Montgomery and Audrey Totter together. Like, yeah, we're
going to New York.
We got through. We're going to New York.
One way ticket.
We're going to try to be a real writer this time. It is kind of a decent Marlo to end on because it feels like he's trying to move on from being a private eye.
Is this Raymond Chandler's origin story?
I don't think he was ever a private eye. Well,
in his dreams,
he would, if he was truly Raymond Chandler, he would be completely shit face obliterated throughout the entire movie. So how anyone can write while they're fucking hammered, I have no idea. Mm-mm. I can't do anything creative drunk.
Mank was that way too.
Yeah. I don't know. Bukowski, how? I don't
half know. Half of Stephen King's stuff, he was like coked out of his mind.
Coke, maybe. I can kind of see it, but drunk?
Yeah.
That seems really hard. Anyway, so that's the movie Lady in the Lake. An interesting experiment, but maybe one that just kind of backed itself into a corner concept-wise. But
yeah.
But I respect the fact that they had to give it a shot. You know, you definitely got to see how it is, right? So, but you're going to give this 1-5. I'm going to give this 1-5 combined for best out of 10. What do you give Lady in the Lake from 1947?
Oh, gosh. This is a hard one. 2.25.
I'm going to say a 3. I think it's a...
Okay.
It's a solid 3. But I understand where you fall with it.
I was going to say 2, but I gave it an extra 0.25 just because of Audrey.
So that is easily our lowest score this month. Because most movies have fallen into a B. I think there's an episode later where we're like... Has anyone fallen under an 8? And it's like, yeah, that's because we recorded that episode like a month before we recorded everyone else. But yes, there have been some that have fallen under an 8, but nothing under a B. This is our first C noir movie this month. So this movie shares It's ranking with only two other movies. The Brides of Dracula and The Sweetest Christmas, the Lacey Chabert.
5.25.
One of the higher scoring Lacey Chabert movies.
Yeah, that's true.
If a Hallmark movie hits a five, that's like, that's almost like hitting an eight, you know?
Yeah, it's a different curve for those.
And that does it for our last Philip Marlowe Monday feature. We're in our last week, so come back every day this week as we finish off The Left-Hand Endeavor. Check the show notes for links, other places to find us. Like and subscribe. We like it when you do that. Leave a comment, a correction, a fun fact, whatever you choose. And supposing we mosey on away from Philip Marlowe Mondays.
Supposing we do.